setahu mana yang akan kau berikan padaku. Aku tak tahu mana yang akan kau berikan padaku. Akan kau berikan padaku.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a Malay song entitled Kecik Kecik Boom Boom by Sharifah Perita. Kecik Kecik Boom Boom, written by Daud Kilau, highlights the story of Pekanbaru, a city in Indonesia known as the Blessed City. The lyrics describe Pekanbaru as a clean, safe, orderly, and harmonious city. This song also calls on everyone to work together in building Pekanbaru to achieve Adipura Award, which is a prestigious recognition for cities or districts in Indonesia that excel in urban environmental management and cleanliness. Well, listener, here is the Malay song Kecik Kecik Boom Boom by Sharifah Perita. Happy listening! of Music Corner presents a Malay song entitled Si Jantung Hati by Siti Fatimah and Henry Iskandar. The song was composed by Syafaruddin SP. This song is a folk song of Tebo, Jambi province. The lyrics are about the hope that the sweetheart doesn't have two hearts. The lyrics also contain a promise to trust each other to be happy forever. Well, listener, here is the Malay song called Si Jantung Hati by Siti Fatimah and Henry Iskandar. Enjoy the song.
Terbayang di hidup menjadi mimpi. Siang terkenang, malam terbayang, di bawah tidur menjadi mimpi.
Dua cempedaksi buah nangko, enak dimakan bersama-sama. Eloklah kita saling percaya, semoga bahagia sepanjang masa.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium where the Indonesian people were Malays, none of Chinese Muslims. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar dengan tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Here at around the 19th century and around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner-catch or cat-catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, the stock of sale was increasingly used towards the east, so the sale also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sale was changed, which we know now as the Phoenician sale.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar Phoenician.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Phoenici became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Phoenici itu secara umum baru muncul dalam apa namanya ya? Cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Phoenici generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, the question still arose about what Phoenici boat is, because the term Phoenici was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari Solompong, there was palari Tongpong. The term Phoenici started being known in the 80s, especially after the Phoenici was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Phoenici. So the term Phoenici, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Phoenici no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Phoenician Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, pulau-pulau yang sebelumnya dinamakan Palari itu mulai dinamakan Phoenici. Jadi, istilah Phoenici yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya suatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Phoenici itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. And ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun
and
di Arab.
People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Arab was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Phoenici is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Phoenici Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Phoenici was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Phoenici to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Phoenici itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Phoenici untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu apa namanya ya, suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Phoenici became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi,
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan. And then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir, if you still need more people. And he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said, the same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal pinisi di Banang ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu kan Mbak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Spinisi ship was built originally from Arab Bulukumba from Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Dan di sini pengalaman saja. Nah, dia kuil dan seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan finishnya 1 jam lebih.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood and kick wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of thick wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang. Bisa untuk pasir tuan. Deknya ini kayu jati. Alinas. Papan sil papannya disusun, kesatu-satu, sampai
lebih. The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed. The bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, and the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Kali sering, kali tian, nampak buatan, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. however. According to research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli
kapal. That's the formula. So this is how we are ship's expert, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about semi or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu
there is one thing that is absence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa, yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a sailboat. And they all have to function the same as sailboat. If you install one small part wrongly, the sailboat won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not fail. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it's created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Finnish.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. sehingga bukan menjadi ini bahwa kesunyian khalaya kerana wah memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan, hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini sih doang.
Forestry Minister Raja Juli Antoni, accompanied by some parliament members, inspected the Weh Island Nature Tourism Park or Sabang Zero Point in Aceh on Wednesday and highlighted the importance of the iconic attraction. Speaker of the House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, has urged the government and the monetary authorities to take mitigation measures to maintain the stability of the rupiah's exchange rate. In a statement received on Wednesday, she underscored that those measures can ensure that the national economy remains conducive, especially for investors amid global economic uncertainties. That's the news.